Hello and welcome to Radio Japan Focus. From our studios at NHK in Tokyo, I'm Risa Shimizu.
And I'm David Crystal.
Our Tuesday edition of Radio Japan Focus features the latest technical and business innovations in Japan.
And today we hear about a technology, a world first, which can produce plastic from seaweed.
David, plastic from seaweed? Why try to produce plastic from seaweed?
Well, plastics are nearly always derived from petroleum. But the petroleum-derived plastics aren't biodegradable, and they produce toxic gases in the form of dioxin and so forth, if incinerated. Plant-derived plastics, however, or bioplastics, have been attracting a lot of attention in recent years as an environmentally friendly alternative. These plastics can break down in the soil. The bioplastics are usually derived from corn, which is also a source of food, as well as a source of so-called biofuels. But the prices of corn are skyrocketing, which has prompted some scientists to focus their attention on seaweed.
But seaweed is also a source of food, isn't it?
That's true, but the scientists in this project have produced plastic from an inedible form of seaweed, one that's actually a nuisance and that some people would be glad to get rid of.
Oh, that's excellent. What kind of seaweed is this?
Kombu is a type of edible kelp or seaweed, but only the middle portion of the plant is used. The remainder is discarded, and a different type of seaweed also grows, very much like a weed, in the farms that cultivate kombu. This unwanted seaweed has to be removed in the summer. Scientists have created a plastic from this unwanted seaweed, as well as the discarded portions of the kombu.
I see. So it's easy to gather the unwanted material, saving the trouble of discarding it at the same time.
Yes, that's right. The seaweed farmers are likely to be quite happy with this technology. They've always had trouble finding places and ways of getting rid of their unwanted seaweed and byproducts. The material is readily available and cheap. Polylactic acid, or polylactide, is the main component in the plant-derived plastics. A team from a number of institutions in Japan, including the Hokkaido Industrial Technology Center and the Tokyo Institute of Technology, have been able to extract polylactic acid from seaweed, a world first. It's an innovative development because until now, most scientists had not considered seaweed as a raw material for bioplastics.
So tell me how they actually produce this plastic.
Let me explain the process. The cellulose, the fibrous component of the seaweed, and the starch are rendered into glucose with the aid of enzymes.
Why do that?
Glucose is readily consumed by microbes. Introducing a certain microbe, lactobacillus, to the glucose will render it into lactic acid. But the lactic acid molecules are freestanding. A catalyst like platinum can be used to bind the molecules together into polylactic acid. Think of the lactic acid molecules joining hands with one another to form a long chain. That's how the polylactic acid is formed.
Well, that's very easy to picture.
But it hasn't been easy to produce all of the desired lactic acid in an efficient manner. Professor Kiyohiko Nakasaki of the Tokyo Institute of Technology, one of the scientists involved in this project, carried out the two stages separately. Enzymes were used to render the seaweed into glucose. Once that was done, lactobacillus was introduced to produce lactic acid, but the microbe wasn't able to produce all that much lactic acid. Professor Nakasaki realized there wasn't enough glucose. He explains. Once the glucose reaches a certain density, you can't produce any more. I considered how we might be able to produce more glucose, and then I remembered how they neatly solved the same problem in the past when it came to producing sake, Japanese rice wine. We tried out that method.
So they employed a technique used in the making of sake.
Yes, that's right. Sake is produced by rendering the rice into glucose, which yeast then convert into alcohol. The first step of converting the rice starch into glucose and the second step of converting the glucose into alcohol are both done in the same vat. Professor Nakasaki followed this traditional technique for fermenting sake. The two stages were done in the same vessel instead of separately. Professor Nakasaki tells us more. The lactobacillus consumes the glucose as soon as it is produced, preventing it from reaching a certain density, which means the enzymes can keep producing more glucose. The lactobacillus is always ready to consume any available glucose, producing a lot of lactic acid in the process. We can produce a high degree of lactic acid.
Well, bravo to lactobacillus and its appetite.
Professor Nakasaki pinpointed the ideal conditions for the enzymes in the lactobacillus to work. The temperature should be kept at 40 degrees Celsius, and the acidity level should be pH 5. This discovery made it possible for the chemically unusual process of putting enzymes and microbes into a vessel at the same time to work effectively.
So the traditional sake-producing technique provided scientists with all kinds of clues for this process. But David, by the way, what kinds of uses are there for the seaweed-derived plastic?
It could have medical applications.
Oh, really? How so?
Polylactic acid will break down inside the body, which means this plastic could be used in surgical thread. It could do away with the need to remove stitches.
And what do they need to do so this plastic can be used in medicine?
Let's ask Professor Nakasaki that question. The lactic acid is converted into polylactic acid with the aid of a metal catalyst, but the catalyst can't contain any metals that are toxic to humans. We need to refine the polylactic acid more and also find some way of removing the metals. Platinum, which is used in the catalyst, is also very costly. We need to find a cheaper metal that can do the job.
When do they hope to perfect this plastic?
They hope to have it ready as a material for medical applications by 2015.
And hopefully this seaweed-derived plastic will be used in medicine very soon.
You've been listening to Radio Japan Focus. In this business and technology segment, we heard about a technology for producing plastic from seaweed. Lisa, do you have some information for our listeners?
As a matter of fact, I do. Japanese Pop Culture Magazine is a program aired on the last Saturday of every month. We'll broadcast a special, We Love Japanese Songs, at the start of 2012, in which our listeners will be invited to participate. Send us recordings of your singing or playing your favorite Japanese songs. Radio Japan's selection panel and listeners' votes will determine the songs that will go on the air and the winner.
Animation songs, Japanese pop songs, children's songs, and any other Japanese songs, regardless of genre. You can sing in Japanese, but any other language is welcome as well. You can sing a cappella or accompanied with instruments, such as the piano, the guitar, synthesizer, and so forth, or computer music software. We will also accept instrumental performances.
But sorry, no karaoke music or the use of voice editing software. We invite you to send us your recordings or performance with notes on the reasons why you chose the song, as well as what you think makes your performance appealing. The deadline is Sunday, November 27th. We're looking forward to receiving hundreds and thousands and millions of entries.
Our address is as follows: Japanese Pop Culture Magazine Special Program, NHK World, Radio Japan, Tokyo, Japan, 150-8001.
Now it's time for Once Upon a Time in Japan, a program introducing popular Japanese folk tales. Our story today is The Gods of the Wind and the Children, a tale told down the years in Niigata Prefecture, which is in the central part of Japan. Once upon a time, on an autumn day, the village children were playing in the sacred forests around the shrine. That's when a stranger suddenly appeared from nowhere.
Hey, you kids, playing here must be boring. I'll take you somewhere nice, so come with me. I'll take you to a place where there are sweet chestnuts and persimmons and pears.
The children were delighted. Is there such a wonderful place? Really? Yes, we'd like to go, the stranger replied.
Very well then, get on, hurry up.
And something like a broom seemed to grow out behind him. The children got onto the broom, and they all flew up into the skies, the wind roaring around them. They had a wonderful view of the world below, and the children were very excited indeed. After flying through the skies for a while, they came down and landed in a place where there were lots of autumn fruits. The stranger called up another gust of wind and made the sweet chestnuts and persimmons and pears drop to the ground. The children ate till their hearts did content and had a good time playing, and it became late afternoon. The stranger said,
I have to go since I have something I must attend to. Find your own way home.
So saying, he disappeared somewhere in a gust of wind. Now the children, left all alone in the mountains, did not know what to do, and they wandered around. After a while, it grew dark. The children became faint-hearted and started to weep when they saw the lights of a house deep in the mountains. They made their way to the house, and a plump, kind-looking old lady came out and asked them, Where have you children come from? A strange man grew a tail like a broom and gave us a ride. We rode on the wind, and he brought us to a place where there were lots of sweet chestnuts and persimmons and pears. We ate till we were full, but the man said he had something he had to do, and he went away somewhere, riding on the wind. And we were crying because we can't find our way home. The old lady said, Ah, I see. That man was my younger brother, the South Wind. He's always so capricious. Don't worry. My older brother, the North Wind, will take you home to your village. So saying, she led the children into the house and fed them white rice and miso soup. The North Wind was asleep, but she woke him up, calling out, Brother, wake up! So the children were given a ride back home to their village, this time on the broom of the North Wind.
Back in the village, there was quite a commotion due to the children being missing, and there were search parties looking for them.
The parents, it said, were very happy indeed to have their children back. That was today's story, The Gods of the Wind and the Children. Thank you for listening from our NHK studios in Tokyo. I'm Risa Shimizu.
And I'm David Crystal.